Holly and I will always be your biggest cheerleaders.
Thank you. I just had a mental picture of you being a cheerleader.
I know. I almost didn't say that because I knew it was going to come back to haunt me.
You're listening to the Jailhouse Prophets podcast, a production of the Elkhart County Jail Ministry. For today's conversation, we'll be joined by your host, Corey Martin, chaplain for the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, Holly Young, tattoo removal technician and chaplain for the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, and our special guest, Stacy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jailhouse Prophets. We're back here at the Elkhart County Jail. Sitting to my right, as usual, is tattoo removal technician extraordinaire, Holly Young, and chaplain. Welcome, Holly.
Thanks.
And to her right is our special guest today, Stacy. Hey, Stacy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're great. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed beyond compare.
All right. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Yes. Tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Stacy Wise. A lot of people around call me Butchie. I was born here in Elkhart. I have been getting in trouble in Elkhart since the early 90s. I probably did 25 or 30 years in prison off and on.
How old are you?
I'm 53. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I've been a bad person, and I've been a good person, and I've been a bad person again. Mostly it's drug related. Mm-hmm. I seem to struggle with methamphetamine, basically something I like to call Satan in powdered form.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, they don't call drugs and alcohol spirits for no reason, right?
Yeah, yep.
I'll just say that I've made a lot of very bad decisions in my life, and it's cost me a lot of time with my loved ones. And luckily, I'm able to still have people who really care about me and are supporting me mentally and you know, I'm a really blessed guy when it comes to that. Like, a lot of people care about me. And, you know, my mother's still alive and my family and that type of stuff. So,
is it possible to experience the kingdom of God inside the Elkhart County Jail or in Westville or Michigan City or wherever?
Well, the kingdom of God is everywhere. I got saved in this very jail. In 2009, I was shot, and I went to the hospital and they took the bullet out of me. And then I came to jail here, and I was married at the time. And I at that point in my life, is the first time that I ever really felt like I wanted to change my life. And so in K-Pod itself, in K-42, I got on my knees and I asked God to come into my life.
What's the journey been like since 2009?
Well, it's had its ups and downs. Like, in 2009, I had made the decision to start the process of trying to get out of a prison gang called the Aryan Brotherhood. You know, it's not an easy process to just, you don't just go into a gang and then quit.
What was it at that time in your life that led you to join the Aryan Brotherhood?
For me, what was attractive about the Aryan Brotherhood was that they were the cream of the crop. Like, basically, the Aryan Brotherhood did what they wanted in prison, and I lived my life and thought in terms of prison. I had just got, you know, 30 years. Mm-hmm. I was a 19-year-old kid. I didn't know no better. So they were the guys to be. So I wanted to be it, and I was exceptionally proud when they asked me to become a member.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at 20 years of your life, and you're thinking, who are my people? Where am I going to belong in here? And that, in one sense, gave you a group to belong to.
Yeah. That decision shaped the rest of my life. Like, being an Aryan for the next 20 years basically was the thought processes in all of my decisions.
I've heard that in prison, people feel a pressure to be a part of a group. Did you feel that pressure when you got to prison?
In prison, it's never good to be alone. I mean, if you're being honest, you need somebody to watch your back. Prison can be a violent, lonely, treacherous place. You know, none of these guys are in there for being, you know, Sunday school teachers. So you go in there and you just kind of find your place.
I can't imagine at 19 how you must have felt. Were you terrified?
Well, at that time in my life, I actually thought I was a bad guy. You know what I mean? I thought that, you know, I didn't really care too much about my life, if I was being honest. You know, I had grown up in an alcoholic home. I had, you know, just been a troublemaker my whole life. By then, I was already, you know, they gave me Adderall when I was so young. And then I don't know. I really can't even fit my mind back into how I felt when I was 19 years old.
I read once that this particular author thought about salvation as God reintroducing us to ourselves. So over the course of our lives, we have all these false identities put on us, and it could be Aryan Brotherhood, addiction, mental health issues, shame, guilt, all these things that pile up on us, and it hides who we were truly created to be, and we forget who we really were. And so I'm curious about this transition from your identity to Aryan Brotherhood. How easy is it mentally and emotionally to kind of move from that identity to your new identity?
Well, it's an ongoing thing. Everybody that knows me, they say, oh, Butchie, the very next thing that comes out of their mouth is the Aryan. I haven't been a patch member of the Aryan Brotherhood since 2014. If you mention the Aryan Brotherhood, my name will be mentioned with that almost every time. The staff here always considers me an Aryan. I've had them call me out about problems that they were having with another member of the Aryan Brotherhood here in the jail. And I'm like, I don't know them and I don't associate with them, but my name continues to be associated with the Aryan Brotherhood even to this day.
And how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel horrible because I think about the things that I'd done to become a member and the things that I did to remain a member. Once people put a label on you, then that's who you are. You know what I mean?
And it takes a long time to undo some of those labels. I wonder if Paul went through something similar, right? When he was Saul and he had this identity as somebody who persecuted Christians, and then God transformed his life and he was Paul. But I wonder how long people still associated him with his old self.
Yeah, I identify with Paul very well because he was a member of, you know, the Pharisees, and he persecuted Christians, and he just had a revelation and was knocked off of his high horse, which we all know that's I don't know if that's where that saying comes from, but that's pretty good.
Maybe it is. It's not a fun experience regardless.
Yeah, it's not a fun experience regardless. And I, even though he was knocked off of a horse, I was shot. And that kind of made me see, hey, you know, your life's at risk. Your life has to change. Mm-hmm. I had my aunt, who was a pastor of a really large church. She came into my hospital room when I got shot, and I was like, I need some drugs. You know, I wanted meth, and I was in the hospital, and I'm screaming at all the nurses, and I'm screaming at my wife, and she comes in, and she just says, "You need Jesus, Butchie." And walked out of my room, and that kind of stopped me. And I remembered those words when I got saved here in the county jail, because it just keeps replaying in my mind, and I thank her for that all the time.
Was there a specific thing that happened when you came back in? You said that was in 2009?
Yeah, 2009 I got shot, yeah.
Getting shot, was that the thing that led you to think, okay, something needs to change in my life?
So I got out of prison in 2008, and so right after I got out of prison, my nephew got murdered in front of me. So that was very traumatic. And then a few months later, his cousin, who called me his uncle, ended up shooting me over being at his house with his girl, with his baby's mom. So that was a couple traumatic things that happened in my life right then that kind of led me to realize that, you know, I probably need to change my life.
How does serving that long in prison or being incarcerated for as many years as you have, how does that change you as a person?
Well, I don't know how much it's changed me as a person, because I don't know the person that I would be if I hadn't changed that. It's like, would you sacrifice all the days between then and now to not be the person that you are today?
We've gotten to be part of your outward expression of how God's changed your life. with tattoo removal.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
you look so different, Stacy.
Yeah, if for those people that, it's a good thing there's no video because Corey would be embarrassed because I'm definitely the best looking guy here.
Hey, Stacy, I always say you have a face for radio.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
But yeah, I used to have large horns tattooed on my head, and Holly removed them, and they're gone. They're I was getting face tattoos before face tattoos were cool. I got horns tattooed on my head in 1994.
How old were you when you got those horn tattoos?
I was 19.
Wow. Okay, so were those horns, did they mean something when you got them? Was there something significant
right,
about
yeah.
it?
Right, yeah. So Aryans believe in Norse mythology. They believe in like Norsemen, like Viking era. Mm-hmm. So in the Viking era, the people with the horns on their helmets were considered, they were the leaders. It's an outward expression of what it means to be an alpha male. It's a way of saying, I'm the cream of the crop. I'm the alpha wood.
Gotcha. It's a way of telling other people
right,
who
I got the horns.
Who you are.
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. yeah, I'm running this.
So that was a pretty big part of your identity for a long time.
Yeah, it was a huge part of my identity. Every decision that I made was regulated by the Aryan Brotherhood. I don't know if you know this or not, but to leave the gang is a big deal. It's blood in and blood out. And so you can't just say, I don't want to be an Aryan anymore, because then you have to take a beating to get out of the gang, which I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I took that willingly. So I retired for a couple years. But what happens is when you're retired, you're still a patched member. So every time there was a problem, they come to me. Every time mm-hmm. there's a situation, I'm involved because I'm just retired. It was like a plea bargain with Satan. But if you don't follow the rules, they might kill you.
Is it emotional for you to get these horns, some of these tattoos removed from your body? Was that a hard decision for you to make?
It was a very tough decision to face, to change the person that I was, to say, hey, I'm not an Aryan anymore, mm-hmm. to say, I don't want to do this anymore.
So there's a cost. There was a cost to you.
Yeah, there's a cost.
For withdrawing from that protection. Well, or not, that organization.
And, yeah, that, and also I also had to get the crap beat out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and risk, you know, it's a controlled environment because it was not some, like a lot of times when people are covered up, which that's what they call it, covered up, they color in the tattoo. Well, if you see a tattoo that's blacked in for the Aryan Brotherhood, that means they probably did something very wrong. As you guys know, I put my initials over my mm-hmm. Aryan Brotherhood patch, and I chose to get out, and they let me retire for a while, and then ultimately I just decided, I'm just going to take my outs. You guys can just do what you want. I don't want nothing to do with you guys anymore.
Mm. Well, you've been to prison before since you've left the Aryan Brotherhood, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the difference in experience, but you know, being a member and not being a member? Because you said it's hard being alone.
Well, it is hard being alone, but I'm still well recognized as mm-hmm. one thing about my past is that I've earned a reputation for being violent. And so whenever I've ever had to display violence, I've always made sure that I did it to the best of my ability. And so that was a protection, as that's a type of protection, you know, mm-hmm. If every time you display violence, the whole prison talks about it, then you don't have to do it very often.
That is just so hard for me to think of you in that way. I've only known kind of the new Stacy.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to fathom a violent Stacy.
Well, I'm not particularly a violent person.
You don't seem to be. You don't seem to be.
I'm very nice, actually.
I imagine. Were you feeling like you were having to act against who you truly were in those times? Because you do seem like a genuinely nice and calm person, kind person. So I wonder if you felt kind of disconnected from yourself, or you felt some inner tension when you had to act that way because you didn't feel like you were that way by nature?
Well, I often say that I'm becoming the man that God designed me to be. Mm-hmm. Like God, I'm a firm believer that God designs you to be a certain way. And so when your life leads you down certain roads, those are just detours of what God really has for you. So I've always been a leader. I've always been someone who was a peacemaker. I would mm-hmm. often be the person who would politic with other gangs or politic with other people to try to keep the peace. As you guys probably can understand, being in a prison environment that is dominated mostly by minorities, being a patch member of the Aryan Brotherhood can be kind of, you know, bad for you. You don't want to have the label of being a racist in a mm-hmm. in a black dominated society, and that's what prison is. And so I've been able to keep the peace a lot of times when most people can't, because I'm a pretty level-headed guy. I don't get angry mm-hmm. very easy, and I mean, not to sound prideful, but I'm a pretty intelligent guy. Mm-hmm. I can figure things out pretty good. So that's another thing that was a problem, was that I'm valuable to the Aryan Brotherhood. I usually handled the store. I would, you know, make money. And that's something they didn't really want to let go of either. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just different. Life is a lot different now because the attributes that God gave me, I was using for the wrong thing. And so now I want to try to use those things for the right thing. I want to try to help people, but it seems like I can't get over this addiction. I can't mm-hmm. figure this addiction out. But I know that one day God's gonna take that out of my life. He's just not done using that part of my life yet. Mm. Because I just feel like that God has something for me that I don't know yet.
I know he has something for you.
I feel that way. Mm-hmm.
When you get out, what's life look like for you? In an ideal world, you get out, what would you want your life to look like?
Well,
can we be part of it?
Yeah, definitely.
Don't forget us when you get out, Stacy.
Definitely. I was thinking about moving in with you, Corey.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Let me pray about that, Stacy.
Okay. I don't know if you got an extra room or not, but
we could find something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately, I want to figure out something where I'm serving God and where I'm I'd like to work in addiction probably,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see myself working in addiction when I can't even take care of my own addiction.
Mm-hmm.
My addiction has cost me basically my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
So I often think about chapter 7 in Romans, where Paul talks about doing the things that he doesn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers drug addiction so well. I mean, if you've never been addicted to drugs and you think that, and you love someone who is addicted to drugs, and you think that they can just stop because they want to, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't that easy. If it was that easy, I promise you, the person that you love would stop. They would.
Yeah.
If I could just stop and make my mother, my girlfriend, my family, my daughter. Oh, my daughter's been through so much.
Stacey, I think one thing that you said I think is very true. Whatever the addiction is, whatever in our lives we're trying to overcome, it's so hard to do it on our own without any support. I think a big part of recovery is having feeling like you're a part of a new community, right? Feeling like you have people who accept you, who love you, who understand you. Man, it'd be hard. It's hard enough to do it in the best of circumstances. If we're out there trying to do things on our own, I just can't imagine how hard that would be for somebody.
Well, I think that society gives up on recovery so quick. They're mm-hmm. so quick to send people to prison with drug addictions. Mm-hmm. I get it. You know, you can't just be out here selling drugs and breaking the law and stuff like that. And I'm failing drug tests and going to prison for failing drug tests. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm working my program. I'm struggling. You know, I had a recovery coach this time. This is really like later on in life. This is the very first time that I've ever actually really participated in recovery. You know what I mean? Like I got the gang stuff out of the way, and now I'm working on the addiction part. And it's like they give up so quick on that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they, you know, I failed a couple drug tests, and I get it. It's a big deal, but do I deserve to go to prison for that? You know, this is the thing. Like, I relapsed on my birthday. I got out. It became my birthday 3 years ago two and a half. In 2022, on my birthday, my daughter was murdered by her baby's dad. So that's something I just haven't dealt with.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing to deal with.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, I try to cover up that pain with drugs.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Stacey, one thing the jail ministry offers anybody who's ever been incarcerated at the Elkhart County Jail, when they get released, the jail ministry will pay for them. If you find a licensed professional therapist that they like, the jail ministry pays for it. Because so many people here have lived through so much trauma, and that trauma just doesn't heal all by itself.
Right.
I'm just not sure that you can really pray the trauma away. I mean, God seems to value working through processes and working through hard things. And I think God has given us therapists who understand how the brain works and trauma works. And so we believe people need Jesus and a therapist. And for people who have lived through really traumatic experiences like that, we're trying to normalize therapy. I go to a therapist every other week. And it's just so valuable to be able to sit across from somebody and say, this has happened to me, and have them listen and know how to respond and give us strategies for working through things. So I'll just throw that out there for when you get out. I think that would be a really valuable resource for you.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that happened.
What obligation does the church have to help Stacy move past his past?
I don't know that the church is obligated at all. I think that so much, the thing about addiction is that there's so much stumbling that is involved, so people tend to give up. It takes a lot of patience when you're dealing with an addict, because addiction isn't something that you can control. And so if you've ever loved someone who's addicted to something, or been around somebody and you just think, oh my God, why do they keep doing this? Why is it they get right for so long and then boom, mm-hmm. it'll happen again. Addiction is so hard to be patient with, because you have to be so patient with an addict.
I think that is the obligation of the church, to be patient and to never give up.
Stacy, I'm thinking about when you go to prison, I'm just thinking about the people who you're going to meet and this version of you, and how they're just going to be blessed by you and your presence. It's a completely different experience.
I hope that's what it is. I really, really hope that there's something that's going to be good about this. I'm so scared that everything that I've accomplished, everything that's in my life is going to be gone. I'm scared that the people that's in my life now, that they're going to give up on me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just scary.
Yeah. I wonder how many people, you said you're a natural leader, and you are, but I think people just naturally follow you. Whatever direction you're going, people follow you. I think you have provided a cover for a lot of people who have wanted to get out but didn't think it was possible. that's one thing your reputation helps you with. Oh, wait, Stacy's got out? Mm-hmm. Well, Stacy can do it. I'm going to follow him.
I know that through my life that I, so let me tell you this story. So I was, when I got out, I was high and I went to the store and I went into the Dollar Tree. And when I go into the Dollar Tree, I see this kid. And I knew the kid. I don't know his name. And he comes rushing up to me and he's like, Butchie? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, because of you, I'm saved. I go to this church. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. I tell people about you all the time. All the stuff that you taught me, all the stuff. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, and I'm on drugs when he does this. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the store. And so when I go back out of the store, I'm like, you know, what is wrong with that kid? But in reality, what is wrong with me? Like, what is wrong with me that I can't see that as a blessing? Like, that's one of the things that is so important. Like, that's fisher of men. Like, he promised, you know, that's what Jesus' promise was. I'll make you a fisher of men. And I feel like he's made me that. And so I just got to continue to keep the faith and hope that whatever happens in my life, wherever it goes from now, I just want to keep trusting God and keep getting closer to him and what he has for my life.
Even with all of our flaws, God still uses us. I mean, God is not letting your drug addiction always get in the way of your witness, right? I mean, the drug addiction is not a great thing. We want a clean and sober Stacy, but an imperfect Stacy doesn't mean that God can't use you or anybody.
Yeah, it's those weaknesses that are God's strength, right? It's when we're weak that God is strong. Mm-hmm. And so it's not the things that I'm good at that God could use. It's the things that I'm not good at that God can use, because people don't want to hear. Like, if imagine a pastor that got up on the stage and just bragged about all the stuff he did, that would never convince anybody, right? What you want to hear about is the where his heart's been broken and how God was there when his heart was broken and when things are bad, how God rescued him. Because without victory, there is no salvation. There's no reason for me to tell my story if there's no victory. So we have to find the victory in all of our stories. That's just what we have to find. We have to find that. So we have to continue to trust God and hope that, you know, how big is my victory? Mm-hmm. That's what we're waiting on. We're waiting on our victories. Yeah.
Stacy, thanks for sharing and
being
on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you.
Holly and I will always be your biggest cheerleaders.
You can count on it.
Thank you. I just had a mental picture of you being a cheerleader.
I know. I almost didn't say that because I knew it was going to come back to haunt me.
You've been listening to the Jailhouse Prophets podcast, a production of the Elkhart County Jail Ministry. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe and like. Jailhouse Prophets is produced by Nimblewit Studios with original music by Calvin Martin at Window View Studios. For more stories and information on what's going on at the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. The Elkhart County Jail Ministry is a 501c3. If you would like to support this ministry with a donation, you can do so at ElkhartCountyJailMinistry.org/donate.